Hello everyone and welcome to the Splashdown Under podcast, a podcast dedicated to all things Splatoon, and I'm your host, Wyko Jacko. Welcome to this stream where, I say stream because for those who listen to it on Spotify or wherever you listen to your pods, I am streaming this over at twitch.tv and we're just here to talk about all things Splatoon 3 and the recent Splatfest demo. We have people joining in the chat here and they've... Wow, they just smashed a goal for us. Oh, goodness me. They're going overboard a little bit, but that's fine. I'm just going to let them complete their little fest that they're doing there. I am well, thank you. Yes, welcome to the Splashdown Under podcast. So, today's episode, we're going to be talking about the Splatfest that we had, the world premiere for Splatoon 3 and the demo. So, my quick thoughts, just a quick, do a quick summary comment. Thoroughly enjoyed it for what I played. I think did about 3 or 4 hours. And it's fair to say, got most out of it what I wanted to do, really. It's just so nice to see a refreshing taste of Splatoon and, like, seeing the new weapon classes, seeing all the, new specials, and the stages. I didn't get to play all of them because I only played for 4 hours during the whole weekend. During the day, I should say, because, Splatfest was only on for 12 hours. And slightly different. It's like, for us, it was 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. on a Sunday. And Europe actually had their Splatfest first, surprisingly. But yeah, it was all right. I don't mind it. Like, Splatfests as a whole are fun if you're playing with friends. Usually when you're playing solo, it can be a living nightmare because... It always seems that, despite the fact that, NA and Australia have their own Splatfest, and then Japan kind of have their own as well, it is kind of weird because we somehow always seem to magically bring in people from out of the regions to our Splatfest. And sometimes it just makes for a terrible experience because everyone's got different lag and latency, and it's just an absolute headache. So, like, having this Splatfest as the demo, I'm kind of wish they didn't do it, because I mean, I can understand, it's a good way to introduce, like, the idols, good way to introduce the fact that there's a thing called tri-color battles, which was cool, I guess. I didn't get to play any, but judging from what people saw, and I've seen the clips on Twitter, it seemed like kind of cool though, because, like, you have the four people from the team, Splatfest team that's winning, and they got to defend basically against two players from either the other teams that aren't winning. And it was amazing to see actually a lot of clips, big people posting that there were the team of two who actually defeated the team of four, which is amazing because they got to capture that signal thing too, with the ultra signal, which I think from realizing it kind of showed off the sprinkler that you summon or something, and it gives you that bit of a help, like advantage, if you're like, especially if you're a team of two, you need extra paint because obviously versing against four and two, so having that sprinkler seems helpful. So yeah, it's interesting idea. It's very niche though, like the whole three things. Just I mean, I get it, but like, do you really have to follow through with the niche of everything being three or try and everything like that? And like, it's cool, I guess, but like at the same time, I don't know. It's just bizarre. So I'm keen to hear your guys' thoughts. Everyone on here that wishes to join. Basically, I just need you guys to post your thoughts and questions in the chat. But like, I'll get through to, like, what I thought about the demo when, basically, also how Splatoon 3 is going to turn out. So, lots of quality of life improvements from Splatoon 2 for Splatoon 3. We have an active lobby where we go into the training area, we search for the match we want to search, and then we can just straight out practice, use the training area. And they made the training area massive, and it's so good to see such a large training area. The thing I like too is that little robot, the little copy machine they call it. So you go and activate it, and basically it has a little splatter shot. And then, so whatever weapon you're using, if you're holding the trigger, the shooter button, it'll just keep shooting regardless, and it just stands at one spot shooting one way, which is kind of cool. So then it kind of, so then that way you can sort of work out the range of a shooter, and then you can figure out your range of your weapon. Like if you're using a charger, you can realize, all right, so the shooter's range is only so far. I can stand here and be perfectly safe, but mind you, this is not really real, because obviously in a real game that copy machine is going to be actually a player, and they're going to be jumping around, moving around, dodging around. But it does help you to give a fair idea with the range, and you know, we have the test dummies there, but like seeing that copy machine is really cool. But the other thing too I liked about the training room is that it's just so large, and it opens up for so much, like especially with the new technique, the techs like squid roll and squid surge. The training room's awesomely built for that, and because as a Gujima player, we get to do so much cool things. Like, we can hold charge for 5 seconds, and then we can be doing this squid rolling, squid surge, and we could just, you know, it's going to be so much fun, like dodging and weaving and jumping around. So good. I'm so happy that we get to, like, the Goo will really take advantage of all this new techniques, I feel. Because, like, Nautilus is probably going to be another weapon that's also going to take advantage of this. And I feel to give me some of the charges as well, even though, like, their charge, held charges and stored as long as Goo. But, like, I feel like charges will probably step up in Splatoon 3. But otherwise, yeah, I kind of like the techniques. It really makes it, like, the people who substrafe the heck in Splatoon 2 will be doing these squid rolls, squid surge, just as much. Like, I did use the squid roll and squid surge a few times. I used the roll more than surge, to be honest, because I still haven't figured it out. Like, you meant to hold down ZL, hold up, and B, but then I'm not sure if you meant to let go at the same time or something. But squid roll is easy. Hold down B. If you swing one way, they quickly dash out the opposite direction, and you can do a roll. And apparently, you can keep doing it continuously. So if you use stored charge, you can get opportunity to like keep dodging, and then you eventually just pew. But I'm kind of excited for it. Let's talk about the splat bow. The stringer. Just English, come on, North America, whatever, whoever translates or localizes, it's just call it the splat bow, not this stringer. I mean, I can understand why it's called a stringer, because there's also strings attached, but like, it's just, I don't know, I couldn't really figure it out properly, because when you're shooting it in the standing position, it's just horizontal, and it shoots out the three little projectiles. But for some reason, when you're jumping, it flicks up, which is weird. And then I don't know if that, there must be a reason why they've done that for that weapon. Because apparently you can get a one shot kill. Apparently, if you flick it upright, as opposed to like a horizontal shot. I don't know. I'm not sure. I didn't really get to play. I tried playing it a few times, but I just couldn't get into it. I don't know. Like, I remember seeing a tweet, someone said that the bow and Spartana suck, but I mean, the bow I kind of agree with. However, we have seen some hacked footage or leaked footage of the, there's a shorter variant of the stringer. I can't remember what it was called, I didn't see the name, but it looked like a really good painter, and like a really fast painter. I'm just gonna go through my Discord here, because I've had a lot of people here posting stuff on it. But it does seem that it's called the Reflux. The Reflux 450. The Reflux. I mean, come on, this is, the puns are getting worse. I bet in Japanese it's got some cool name, but in English it's called the Reflux. And then also the leaked footage of the Splatana Stamper. which is based off of some sort of office tool we use for stamping things. I don't know. I don't haven't really seen much of them, so I can't comment what it's really meant to be like. But I'm sure someone's like, oh, I know what that's trying to be. But it's basically just a heavier version of the Spartana, and surprisingly, it doesn't do much more damage. And I think it's actually meant to be more of a midline Spartana, which is curious, because then if the Spartana, if that's meant to be the light class weapon, and then the Spartana Step is meant to be a middleweight class, is there going to be a heavier version of it? Because I remember when we saw pictures of the Spartana Stamper, like when there was like a, I'm not sure if it was a leaked image, but there was an image with a background and people were going like, what is this chainsaw weapon? Turns out it's just a Stamper, Spartana Stamper. And yeah, I think it does 35 damage as opposed to 30, which is what the Wiper does. But it's intriguing because I kind of interested to see if there's going to be a heavier version of it. The kit, this is for spoilers for those who want to avoid it. It seems to me that it has Burst Bomb with, I think, Trizooka? I want to try to see if I can avoid the sounds. It does indeed have... So the Spartana Stamper has Burst Bomb and the thing with the ninja thing. I forget the name of it. A zipper, ink zipper, that thing. I should know, but I don't. It's got the, but yeah. So that's gonna be interesting, Kit. So as we know, the Wiper Splatoon, the Spartana, it has torpedo and stamp, which I think is not bad kit. I feel that's respectable. So the Spartana Stamper has burst bombs and the zip caster. I remember the name zip caster. While for the reflux weapon, which is a shorter range of the Spartana, it seems like it's going to have curling bomb and tentacle missiles. So it's basically replacing the bamboo from Splatoon 2. And it's like a smaller, it's a shorter range, faster charge, and has, as the normal Splat Bow, has a horizontal and a vertical fire mode. But it seems to paint very quickly, which is impressive considering the Splat Bow itself doesn't do that much. It has a full charge shot of 135. It seems that the tap shot is 35. That's a 35? I wonder if that'll stay the same though, because that's not that high. But it might be suffice enough. But I guess with curling bomb tetra missiles, that's probably going to cause some damage. But yeah, I don't know. It might have a stored charge component. I'm not entirely sure from this video that I've seen. Oh, and the difference also between the Reflux 450 and the Stringer, Tri-Stringer, is that there's no explosive projectiles. As with the Stringer itself, it does have, like, if you full charge enough, it does have explosive projectiles on the end. So when they land to the ground, they do look explosive. And that's the thing I also don't like about the Splat, but the Tri-Stringer, I should say, is that you can do a first charge, but then there's a second charge, and that second charge really, because it really tells like what damage you're gonna do. Because with the full charge, with a full charge, like the reason why I'm saying full charge is kind of like imagine Hydra, like, or the bullpen. There's that two firing modes. It has the first charge, and then the longer charge. The Tri-Stringer has that kind of effect with the first charge just being, you know, a faster shot, a ranger shot. But then if you charge out a bit extra, the explosives are charged up too. Which is, yeah, I don't know. I still feel like it's not going to be that high tier of a weapon. Price Stringer. Maybe the Reflux, as I've seen, could be more damaging. Especially like with the techs, like every weapon's going to be played so differently now because we've got the roll and surge. So I'm fascinated. I really am fascinated about why, because the comps for these weapons too are going to be another thing. All right. So this Reflux has got Killing Bomb, Tether Missiles. And then you've got the Stamper, which has got Burst Bomb and Zipcaster. Because Zipcaster for me is a weapon. It doesn't really make too much sense. Unless you're like a close range shooter. It's the only kind of weapon that... Or an Octobrush or Inkbrush. I could probably see like a undercover Brella or one of the Brellas getting it. Zipcaster is just like an inkjet but stealthy, and you can just use your weapon instead of flying around. Which I guess is something else I should talk about. I haven't done a video or a podcast episode since we had the Direct. And seeing Inkjet and Tether Missiles return, and Booyah Bomb for that fact as well. Booyah Bomb is also returning, and Stamp. It's kind of a good blend between, like we're seeing a good variety. Like, we've getting the special weapons from Splatoon 1, like, with a fresh remix. Like, so we have, like, the Tri-Zooka, the Triple Tornado, Ink Strike, whatever, and the Killer Whale 4.1, which I kind of like the Killer Whale 4.1. It's a lot less annoying than Stingray. And the fact that it doesn't deal that massive damage, I feel. I have to try it out in the testing range, but it could be interesting to see how, like, less annoying, like, and how you can... Because the way I've seen it being used is, like, in close range, which is complete opposite of what Stingray is like in Splatoon 2. So there's no jumping back to spawn using GG Ray anymore. It's just a matter of fact that you're going to be up in your face using this thing. And the fact that it's a kind of... It's automated, like, it'll just, like, you aim at the one person, and then after the aims at the person, it's just, they're kind of like a spread, like a really quick spread. Which is kind of nice, though, because it kind of spares the person who's being aimed at, I guess. So it's like, make sure you're doing it right, otherwise, you know, you might end up killing someone else. But, yeah, so we've enjoyed that, but then also the fact that, Tether Missiles are coming back. And seeing the Dynamine thing on Twitter, GooTube is going to get Tether Missiles with Torpedo. And I'm okay with that. I'm 100% down with that. Because I feel like maybe with the Tether Missiles, people might want to, you know, spam the crap out of them with Goo. So, like, I'm more than welcome. More Goose, the better, you know. But, like, yeah, I feel... Maybe not too many. Like, if people are just using using goo for just missiles, then yeah, I feel like they're just a Tether missile main. But the other special that sort of coming back from Splatoon 1 is the Big Bubbler. Now, I saw a clip of someone putting a Big Bubbler on the tower. Yeah. Big Bubbler with a crab cannon or crab tank is going to be a problem. Because especially if you can't shoot through the Bubbler, there's going to be a big tank. Big chunky tank. And it's going to be like... It's kind of like... It feels like it's very Booyah Bombing. Like, because you got the Bubbler there. So you've got the shield. And then the crab tank is like a big... Big old gal with a longer range. And explosive cannon. That's kind of nice. But like... It's going to be... Devastating. Especially when you mix that with a... With a Tactical. Which... Tactical is... Energy Station. I think it's called in Japanese. Energy Stand. Yeah, energy stand. Energy standoff. That special is going to be interesting because I don't recall seeing anyone using energy stand and then getting assists with it. I can't remember if that's a thing or not. Otherwise, maybe it might be a thing. I don't know. But the fact that, like, so if you manage to like, a can from the energy stand or the tactical, you can respawn after 1 second or whatever it is, like when the timer happens. So instead of the stand 3 or 4 seconds, it's 1 second and you're back. Which is completely nuts. Like, it makes people not need to use quick respawn as opposed to in Splatoon 2 when that was a meta, quick respawn meta. So tactical kind of includes, like, the abilities of run, like, all together, it's like run speed, swim speed, ink management, so like that's including ink saver sub, ink saver main, ink recovery. There's just so many things that tactical is broken towards, like the fact, like I said, you respawn after 1 second or whatever it is. It's just nuts. But I guess the compromise we have with tactical is you have to activate it in a spot where your team could take advantage of it. So, like, if you got someone, like, just a Turf War, for example, right? I'm just using Turf War as an example because I don't know the ranked modes or the how they're going to look. Like, I know Rainmaker's now checkpointed, which is okay. Bit bizarre that they've gone that way, but it's okay. You need to put tactical in a like a nice area where you can let your teammates get to it without them potentially being spotted and hounded down, because it really changes the fact that, like, from Anzap, where you're going through mid, you get armor, you pop it, and you just keep going forward. With Tacticaler, you have to put it in such a spot where you have to be safe, and also in a convenient spot for your frontliners for them to safely pull back, or depending on the situation, if they want to risk it without it and just keep going ahead and trying to slay or keep turfing forward. So tactical is really going to open up, like, and really it's still going to challenge people, but it's going to make people wonder, like, oh, do I go back for tactical? Like, do I like take 5 seconds away from my game to, like, just go back and get Tacticaler? And just, no, because it's a massive advantage to get that soda. Actually, I don't know what the official term would be. Like, I pop a Tacticaler. Okay, I'm going to get my can. Because, like, what do you say, though? What do you say to that? Like, what's the go there? Do you say, because, like, it's like in Splatoon 2, I got armor, I'm going to pop armor. Between 3, you guys got the caller. Tacticaler is ready. I'm gonna pop Tacticaler. And the thing is, too, I noticed with Tacticaler, I don't think it's defeatable. Like, you can shoot at it, but it doesn't damage it. I don't know if people could notice that, if that was a thing you could do to Tacticaler. Crab Tank, I noticed, has a funny way of being cancelled. You just throw bombs at the back. So, like, if you got a Crab Tank. Like, if you've got an enemy crab tank in front of you and it's facing the opposite way, facing away from you, you can just throw the bomb in the back and apparently it spots them. So it's a bit like, imagine like a Tenta umbrella shield, basically, but with a cannon. That's what crab tank is. And it's got a nice little feature where you can actually, so there's a normal two shots, like two cannons, and there's a big main cannon in the middle, which is like shows like a big explosive. So Crab Tank's, I reckon Crab Tank's going to be fun special. I mean, it would just see how much it gets used, because Splattershot Pro had it in the demo. And, because, like, we haven't got any more MPU anymore, which is, thank goodness, no more MPU. So, but I think it's still 3-shot no matter what. So seeing how Crab Tank works with it will be interesting as well. The new sub, I want to quickly talk about the new sub, Angle Shooter, is basically a dart point sensor, which is kind of nice because it also ricochets, which is cool. There's been a lot of conversation in the Goo server about, like, there's two people in the whole server that want a Goo kit that with Angle Shooter, and I'm like, nah, give me Burst Bomb, or give me Suction Bomb again, because... that's all I know with Goo. Like, or maybe even Fizzy Bomb. Fizzy Bomb would be nice. But like I said, because with the current kit that's been data mined, it's got Torpedo, which is kind of good for finding Sharkers. And so, like, that kind of reveals the location of the enemy anyway. So, Point Zetter does, I think, like 15 or 30 damage if you manage to successfully dagger someone with it. So, that's kind of cool. But, like, at the same time, kind of want a more aggressive sub. Because usually you can rely on, like I said, the Splattershot Pro Vanilla, at this stage, seems to have the Angle Shooter, which is what, you know, which is not, it's okay, because, like, that does 30 damage already, but then you got, like, the 2-shot of a Splattershot Pro. But the other thing is, too, like, the other specials that we've seen, the Wave Breaker, is basically an Angle Shooter, but, like, more centralized. And so that does a little bit, I think it's maybe, I don't know, I didn't see how much damage it does, but it's really cool because it doesn't matter what plane you're on, it'll still go around the area. So like if you put a lot on under tow spillway in that midsection where there's a bump, if you post a wave breaker there, the set this I'm gonna call it a laser or something, when it shoots out that shockwave is the best way to say it. No, not you shockwave. An actual shockwave. It'll shoot out that shockwave and it does damage, and at the same time it does like a echolocator kind of thing. So it helps you find where the enemy are. If Goo has echolocator, I would not be angry about that. But then also Booyah Bomb's coming back, and I wouldn't mind Goo with Booyah Bomb. It's just so many. I just don't want it to have Zip Cast. If Goo has Zip Cast, I'm going to be so mad. Because like, it's not what... Unless if you could stall charge with Goo and Zipcaster, then I'm okay with that. But like at the same time, charges with Zipcaster just don't make sense as a whole. So kind of hoping that doesn't happen. Then again, I'm not the one in control. I can have an influence, but probably not going to matter. So yeah. Untoe Spillway, now we're on that subject. Kind of an okay map. Kind of reminds me a bit of like a Schellendorf with Snapper Canal. Because you got the unpaintable roofs or the ramps, I guess you could call it. And that's very similar to how like with Schellendorf has the unpaintable roof. So yeah, I feel like that's what it's trying to be. Like a Schellendorf with Snapper Canal. Well, there's probably a better comparison. But I kind of like it. It's not too outlandish. It's got a nice neutral area. Nothing too crazy. And the other map, what we played, Mahi Mahi. People are complaining about Mahi Mahi so much, as well as the new Hammerhead Bridge. Now, I played a lot of Mahi Mahi during the Splatfest. Didn't mind it, to be honest. People said it's too small or something. I don't know. But like, there was a post someone posted on Twitter, and I almost agree with them, that Mahi Mahi will get the under construction treatment like the Reef did, and Black Belly did, I think. And there was another map, I think, got the under construction treatment. But I wouldn't be surprised if that's going to happen. Because, I don't know, people are already complaining about it, as well as Hammerhead Bridge. Now, I didn't get to play Hammerhead Bridge, but I don't know, people think it's like a bad Walleye Warehouse, but then I can't really see the comparison too much. I mean, it's hard to say, because like, this isn't the final game, this is the demo, so, you know, take this demo with a grain of salt, but at the same time, it's just, guys, just take it easy, it's this demo, it's fine, don't be so upset. And the other maps I didn't get to play were the Meatworks place, and the what other maps were playable? Was it the fish market one? Was that playable? I can't remember. I can get to play if that's the case. But there was a few maps I didn't get to play, so my kind of sample size wasn't that great. So I'm kind of hoping that we get some people in chat joining us here, but that's fine. There's no one here to really say anything too much about Switch 23, which is okay. I don't mind that too much. So Team Rock won. I mean, yay, that's a TMI pick, so yeah, I guess that was fine. But I'm a bit overshot with this episode, because I to say one thing and I talk about it, then I think about another thing, I talk about that. Oh gosh. I just thought, because also I talked about the quality of life stuff and I didn't really go into depth so much about other things that I mentioned. So for example, the quality of life and lobby stuff, it's so nice that you can just easily invite your friends. Like, where was that in Splatoon 2? Honestly, where was that? We could have easily had that Splatoon 2. Wouldn't have been that hard. It seems crazy now. In 2022, in Splatoon, we have an invite system. Good job, Ninty. Good job. But now, we got invites, which is so good. Because then that way I can easily play with my Japanese friends. I don't know if you can do invites for PBs. I'm sure you can. I just didn't see the option because we couldn't access PBs during the demo. I do enjoy the fact, though, when you invite people to your lobby, you get to see the ghosts of them in the training area. It's so cool. I just noticed, though, every now and then when we were waiting for matches, the ghost would disappear every now and then. But I don't know if that's just because it's a server thing or if it's just that's just what happens. Because the thing is too, right, we had so, like, I'm pretty sure everyone could share the same thought, like everyone had communication errors. I mean, the demo was going to be so, like, everyone was going to be playing it. There was no word of a doubt that there wasn't going to be anyone not playing it, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I think maybe the struggle was real for the servers or the peer-to-peer, wherever it works. It's just a problem because, like, I wish Nintendo would have servers. Like, come on, you make that much friggin' money. You could think, like, at least for Splatoon, because Splatoon would require servers. Like, some of my friends, like, Oven Goats, I was unfortunately banned for up to 40 or 50 minutes only because their Wi-Fi, college Wi-Fi, was letting him down. Like, that's ridiculous. I mean, yeah, it's Wi-Fi, I guess, in a college. But you think if you had more a server set up, like Splatoon servers were set up, people might have a secure connection. And like, I have a wide connection and I was getting server errors. I think I got about, well, not server errors, connection errors. I think in my time of playing, I had about 10, which is so unusual because usually with Splatoon 2, I average maybe one disconnect every 200, 300 games. Maybe more than that. So I've had no issues when it comes to internet connection on Splatoon 2. But Splatoon 3... And I feel like with Splatfest, though, Splatfest always seems to find problems. Especially the fact that, like, not everyone's going to have a wider connection. And people should... I cannot emphasize this enough. You should be playing Splatoon 2 or any Nintendo Online game with a freaking wide connection. I can understand, like, if you want to play handheld Wi-Fi, like, that's fine. Like, if you're going to take the game serious, like, any game online serious, please have a wide connection. I mean, it helps so much. I mean, one of my friends, Amanda, she went and bought, like, a 6-meter long data cable. And, oh, it might have been longer, actually. And she ran from her modem in her house into a bedroom, and apparently it was going along the floor. Some people were probably tripping over it, and the cat were probably eating it. But they were still getting disconnects, but that doesn't surprise me, because I think that can happen. Yeah, it's just... Yeah. If Splatoon had servers, come on, give us servers. Just give us servers so we can have a better online function, and then everyone can have fun and not get angry. Another thing, too, is... like, when we were waiting in lobbies for matches, I think the longest I had to wait was 390 seconds, which I think is, let me just do my math here, get my fancy trusty calculator. Oh yeah, I can't because my flaming thing's broken. Never mind, here it is, calculator. If I go 393 divided by 60, that's 6 minutes and 55 seconds for finding a match. That's way too long. That's ludicrous. The fact that in Splatoon 3, I think maximum we're allowed to wait is 3 minutes. I did that wrong. Hold on. Yeah. Like, Splatoon 2, you're either playing the game or you're playing Lobby Simulator. And it's just the worst because, like, you want to play and it's just like searching for players, searching for players, searching for players. It just takes too long. Like, at least it counts up instead of counting down, which is nice. But, like, someone posted a thing saying they took 900 seconds. 900 seconds divided by 60. That's 15 minutes for one game, for a 3-minute game. If you're waiting 15 minutes to find a 3-minute game, that's not right. That's not good. That's just not good enough. Please get dedicated servers, please. Like, that's... We're paying $30 in Australia for a single person to have a membership so we can play online. You think if there's, like... If you say, like, there's... I don't know. A million Nintendo fans. There's easy $30 million or $300 million right there. And, it, like, that's just for online as well. And then you're also putting into fact that people are buying the games... There's almost another like 900 million or whatever. Maybe not that much. But, you know, there's enough money there. Build the infrastructure. I'm sure it can't be that hard. Flaming, like, that's what keeps Nintendo games, or online games, I should say, going, is stable connection servers and stuff like that. Like, Rocket League's been out for since 2015, and that is still being played by heaps of players in 2022. Well, some, just. But, like, you know, it's stuff like having servers that makes a long, give game long jeopardy. And I guess they're also helping that by releasing, well, not releasing, but having seasons. So this is one thing I liked about the Splatoon 3, is that they're having seasons as opposed to month, which was, month-to-month just really never caught on for me. Like, I get it. Constant rotations, Salmon Run on some weekends, some other weekends. Like, that drove people mad that Salmon Run was already playable during sometimes, as opposed to, like, why can't you just always play it? So Salmon Run playable every time, which, all the time, is great. The new Salmon Run, the big run, looks scary. It's kind of like, reminds me of the Endless Dynamax Adventures, which is, you just keep battling Dynamax Pokemon until you all faint. So that, I feel like that's what the big run's going to be about, maybe? I'm not sure. We should see, because that blew my mind when they showed Big Run and it was on Wahoo World, like Salmon Run on Wahoo World. That was insane. Like, that would be so scary. Oh gosh, like, imagine if you're playing a normal turf war and all of a sudden the Samurai just come out of nowhere. Imagine if that actually happened. Maybe that's what it does happen. No, surely not. No, I'm just, no, that can't be right. But though, if it did, that would be crazy. Samurai would be like, oh, you guys playing turf war? Let's just, you know, start a full-on Samurai run. Salmon Run. But yeah, apparently there's two new hero weapons. I think it was, I didn't see them. It was a Hero Splatana and maybe Hero Bow Stringer, I guess. But I can't remember seeing that. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I know there was going to be two new hero weapons. All the returning, Grisco weapons, I should say. Grisco weapons are returning. And yeah, the two new Grisco weapons, the Splatana and the Tri-Stringer. Should be interesting. Not sure how I feel about that. I think you can have customizable Splatoon, Salmon Run gear, which is nice. I like that. It's just so good that you can have customizable things. Because, yeah, Salmon Run was great in Splatoon 2. But, like, I think you can change your gear as well, which was nice, which sounds great. But as I was getting back to seasons, so a season's going to last 3 months, which is so good. Because all the online games right now, no matter which game, are doing seasons as well. Seasons involve like Pokemon Unite, Rocket League, Apex, Fortnite. They're all doing seasons. Splatoon is not. So by employing seasons, there's going to be more nice updates, like more content drops. Probably means more patches, but like that would help because there'll be metas discovered quickly. Like Tacticola will probably be one that might be nerfed a little bit, I can feel. I don't know how the intensify action ability is going to work. I don't see that one. If anything, maybe being buffed, but like I don't see anyone how you can take advantage of it. Maybe if you have like a 0.2 of it, 0.3 of the sub, you just squid roll backwards faster. That's what I'm not entirely sure about, but interesting that they have added it anyway, because like I said, they got rid of MPU, so they had to bring something in. And Bomb Defense DX is still a thing, or did they? I can't remember if they did or not, but it's kind of nice that they got rid of MPU, because that was the main thing. Ever since version 4.0 came into Splatoon, it was the best thing that ever happened, or the worst thing that ever happened, because it really killed the game for a lot of people. And it's just not fun when you're having weapons all stacked up with MPU and having to rely on it. And even specials like Special Charge Up, like, you can't really nerf Special Charge Up because it's what it is. You want your special faster, so like people will just paint more and then just spam missiles or stingray or whatever. But I think generally what they've done is they have started off in the level playing field with all the points specials, because most of the weapons, special weapons, were 200 or like either like 180 or 200, which is, because 180 is considerably high even for like our lowest one, because the GooTuber and Inkbrush have 160 points for splashdown. I can't remember what the lowest one in Splatoon 3, what the demo was, but 180 is pretty decent. Like, it's a pretty good average points total wise. Because I feel like that can be easily achieved regardless if you use special charge up or not. So I'm thinking maybe they're trying to get a more reliance on people using the main weapons as opposed to special weapons. Because that's what really happens between two. People were having more reliant on their specials as opposed to using their mains. So, yeah, hopefully we get a bit more balance with that. Because that's what really killed the game, is Splatoon 2, like towards the end. People farming missiles, farming stingrays, barely using their main weapon, like using subs, is like, because like splat bombs, people spamming splat bombs left, front, and center, or burst bombs, even for that matter. So, if they get the balance right, this game will have a longer player, like longer jeopardy, and more player retention. I think that's the word. Or people playing the game longer. Which is kind of what we need, because in the Western scene, particularly, like, the Western scene, I feel like, is struggling with player retention, especially because people die off the game, they find it boring, especially with, like, Splatoon 2. There's, like, no fun anymore. People are using too much missiles, armor. But with Splatoon 3, if, like, trouble the Western scene's going to have is trying to attract new players to Splatoon. And like Splatoon 2, after version 4.0, it would have been hard to do that. So this is the sequel that we really needed. And hopefully, like, we do get a new player, new players coming in and enjoying the game longer. Like, another thing I too like about Splatoon 3, it really has a good vibe and a very good blend of Splatoon 1 and 2. So I was saying on the Home of Mario podcast, that, like, people who played Splatoon 1 but didn't play Splatoon 2 that much, maybe this day will continue on, or if they've, you know, gone elsewhere with their lives and playing other games, that's fine, I completely understand. Because I feel like Splatoon 2 didn't manage to capture a lot of the Splatoon 1 fan base. It's a bit like the analogy with people who play Melee but they don't play Ultimate. It just happens. People like to think, like, the older games are the superior games, and that's fair enough. Can't blame them if they think that, because, I mean, look at how Splatoon 2 turned out in the end, like, so stale with the meta and everything. So it's really, I feel like this way with the seasons, the more content updates, it'll be nice to see, like, it's gonna be so much more, like, it's more laid out for us. We get to see what's gonna happen, what's going to come. Just more quality content, like, hopefully better maps, new weapons. Now, when they said new weapons, I wonder if this will be a new weapon class, but I don't think so. I can't see that happening. Obviously, they mean the kits, which is nice. Like the one thing I don't like about Splatoon 2 is how a lot of weapons, like, certain weapons got third kits, while then there's heaps that only got two, which is, like, that's not fair at all. Like not even, like, Hydra got a third kit, and yet, I guess, to a degree, you can argue maybe it didn't need a third kit because it had armor and splashdown, which splashdown on a Hydra sounds hilarious. Like, I've played it. It's funny. It's the funny Hydra. That's what I like to call it. But then you've got the boring old custom Hydra, and all it has is ink mines and bloody armor. So hopefully, you know, hopefully they give us third kits for most weapons, because Goo and Squiffer got one. Goo didn't. Bamboo got one. E-Leader didn't. Splat Charger did. Clash Bar didn't. But then it's Clash Bust. K-Pro did. Junior did. Dry Slosher didn't. Tri Slosher didn't. There's a few. I could go on forever about which ones did and which one didn't. But, like, yeah. Because I feel like if all weapons got third kits, the matchups would be phenomenal, like, amazing. It'd be, like in Smash, we have, like, so many possible matchups. Just imagine if all episode 30 kits in Splatoon 2, like the amount of matchups, like the potential. Oh my gosh. So maybe we could see that. Third kits for all weapons. Another thing I want to talk about. Rainmaker has checkpoints. Goodbye 30 second games. It was fun knowing you. Honestly, like, that kind of kills it for me. Because, like, well, no, it doesn't kill it entirely. Like, it's kind of nice that you do have a checkpoint. But then at the same time, why? I mean, like, fast Rainmaker games were funny and they were fun. Your team could pull off, it was the best. But why though? I just maybe you could think of a reason why in the comments below or on the chat. But like, I don't know. I mean, does it make sense? Did it need to be a thing? I guess because I don't know. I really don't know what to say about checkpoints in Rainmaker. It seems silly because in the trailer, when they're talking about the seasons and the DLC or whatever, in the background they were playing Rainmaker on under, I think it was the Underbelly Flow, whatever it's called, Undertow Slipway. There were two checkpoints on the screen. There was one on the right, one on the left. And I think they'll go for the one on the left because that was their checkpoint. And then they might have had another checkpoint in the distance. So you're slamming the Rainmaker on the one checkpoint. And then once you do that, podium lowers, and then on the checkpoint podium, that podium lowers, then you have to burst that one to the last checkpoint, the podium, I'm assuming, the final podium. But like, why did they think they needed to do that? That's what buggers me. That's what stuns me, I guess. Baffles me is probably the right word, actually. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't know. Confusing. One thing they did do, which no one has really noticed yet, so spoilers, Clam Blitz is now, you only need 8 clams for a super clam. So I guess the reason why they did do that is because there's less chance of a Clam Blitz game going to the 8 minutes, because in Splatoon 2, Clam Blitz had... You had 5 minutes for the main game, and then if no one scored, you had an extra 3 minute overtime, which is crazy. That's a long time. I think, to be honest, I've had one, an actual ranked match where it went for 8 minutes, and I don't know who won. I can't remember if my team won, because I think they give the alpha team the victory just straight up by default, but I can't remember if I was on that team or not. But it's just, that's just how it worked, or how it works. So strange. So they're gonna reduce the chance of that happening by making it you only need 8 clams, which is good actually, because and I think also the other thing they changed too was, instead of a group of 4 clams, it's a group of 3. So I guess maybe they're making it easy and faster to make a super, which is, think of the teams could have a full-on set of 4 power clams. Like, that could well and truly be the case so often and occasionally, I reckon. There's going to be so many teams that are going to have, 80 clams because of 4 supers or whatever it is. Or is it 10 clams per super? 10 points? I think it's 20. That's going to be nuts, though. Imagine the plays that people are going to do. And tower control was untouched, which is nice. It's a good mode. It's fine. It's the most even mode I find for myself, because being a goo player, a charger player, the splat zones. Splat zones. It all depends on the map and mode. But for me, tower control was the most balanced mode for me. I had the most fun playing tower control. But yeah, I was wondering. Will they do like they did Splatoon 2 and introduce a new mode halfway through? Because we got Clam Blitz in 2018, maybe 2019. I want to say 2018. And people were like, "Wow, what the heck is this?" And then we got it, and it's like, "Well, it's not too bad." I always just like to think it's a team deathmatch, because half the time people are just going for kills and not worry about going for objective, which is. That's such a Splatoon thing to do, though. Because people would just kill, and they're like, it'll be 4 minutes gone, and like maybe one team's only scored one super. But it's just constant killing, splatting, and eventually someone might score for fun. Because that's what can happen. People might score for fun, and you're like, oh, that's right, we're playing clams. Oh, goodness me, Clan Blitz is a funny mode. It is a mode. But yeah, I'm very optimistic for a new mode. I just don't know what it'll be. I mean, if you want to argue, Tricolor Turf War is kind of a new mode, but like, it's only for Splatfest, which kind of sucks. But then I guess the only way you can play it without a Splatfest is doing MPBs, which I guess might be fun. But I don't know. I guess having Tricolor only restricted to Splatfest, yeah, I guess I'm okay with that. It is what it is, though. So what else are we going to talk about? We talked about the ranked modes, Rainmaker being different, clans being better. Hammerhead Bridge, I didn't get to play during the first Splatfest. Apparently it was playable, and people complaining about it being a worse Walleye, which I think is unfair. Give it time. Mahi also feeling a little smolder for some people, but I think it's fine. Just let it be, guys. Let the game be. It's only just a demo. Take it with a grain of salt. Didn't get to play Mintweet and Works, but it's, from all reports, it seems like a good map. The main center stage map of the game. I figure what's called Slipway. No, not Slipway. That's Spillway. I'm thinking of. I don't know Spillway, but that looks like a good map. Spillway looks like a good map. The alleyway or something, whatever it's called, I think it's called. That looks like a nice map too. And it feels long and big. It's huge. It feels that way anyway, but yeah, it looks, I like how the maps feel a bit more broader, which is nice. Because we got maps to come, we got Flounder Heights and that Egyptian map. Flounder Heights, I feel like, has like a weird kind of division through the community. Like, people either love it or people either hate it. I'm going to probably love it because all the paintable walls on the buildings we can go up and do hold charge with. It's gonna be so much fun, I feel. And let's just be happy that Camp Triggerfish and Port and Moray Towers aren't returning. Let's just be happy for that, shall we? That's one thing we can agree on. That those two maps aren't coming back. Hallelujah. Oh, and Museum Del Fonso, didn't get to play it, but you know, I like that museum map. It's a good map. What other maps were there? I should know, but because I didn't play much of it. Yeah, Inkbot coming back, which is kind of nice, and they made that paintable wall unpaintable, so people can't do that cheat thing where they go through that little patch where you can randomly dodge a hitbox and swim straight up onto the platform. That's actually kind of funny that they did that. as Sturgeon Shipyard's back. Don't know if it's changed that much. I just noticed for Tricolor, it's slightly changed a bit. Like, the areas to the left of spawn, slightly different. A bit more rampier, more open. Which is nice. But yeah, I feel like, because we've got 12 maps. 12 maps to start off with, right? 6 original, 6 returning. Hammerhead Bridge, I'm considering as an original because we know Splatoon 1, it was under construction, and now Splatoon 3, we just play it. People complain about it already, but like, take it with a grain of salt, guys. Take it easy, take a chill pill, far out. Unless there's less grates, which is what I'm happy about. Less grates, the better, because goo can't do well on grates. We can't really swim through it with whole charge. We can goo bag, but like, that's not that great. Because you're going so slow. But I didn't get to play it, but I'm excited to play it. And yeah, we're only 9 days away, or even 8 days. No, 9 days away from Splatoon 3. But time of recording that is anyway. So, watching or listening to this whenever you're close to launch. But I've got my copy pre-ordered. I'm excited to pick it up. I've taken the day off, so I'm going to play it all day, or most of the day. Because I'm a responsible adult. I have other things to do. I'm kidding. I'm going to play the heck out of that game on that day. So yeah, that's about going to wrap it up, guys. we'll sort of have a quick chat about it. Nothing too serious or too long. I say that, yeah, apparently being on for 56 minutes, but, you know, that's plenty enough of your time for you to be barking, listening to me, you know, disagreeing, shouting at your phone or shouting at your computer. This guy's an idiot, he doesn't know what he's talking about, all he says is YouTuber and stuff. Yeah, well, duh. I'm obsessed with that weapon. So obsessed. So, yeah. I mean, I didn't get max points on it for nothing. I swear, nothing. Speaking of which, one quick touch on my YouTube content. For those who don't know, I have a YouTube channel where I upload just random Splatoon videos mainly. I upload the video format of this podcast. I also upload my other podcast I do with a good friend called the Average Blokes Podcast. Troy and I, we talk a lot of nonsense. That's in video form at the moment. I haven't gotten around to uploading on Spotify or any podcast services yet, but I plan on to doing in the future. So if you like listening to two Aussie blokes just ranting and raving about whatever, that's a good show to go listen to. Otherwise, yeah, connect with me on Twitter, Discord, YouTube, Twitch. Yeah, that's all I can recommend, really, guys. But yeah, I'll sign off by saying thank you guys so much for listening or watching. Feel free to mention to someone else or friend or someone else you know who likes Splatoon, just to give this show a bit of love. And yeah, because I feel like I'm the only Australian who's doing a podcast about Splatoon. Like the Western, like NA scene do it. Like there's a fair few shows there, but like we need an Aussie perspective here. Like we need to balance it, because there's a lot of people talking about how, oh, it's just Australia, they're not good at anything. Like their number one player is a Sploosh 7 player who gets 2900 power, mind you, on a nearly constant basis. Shout out to you, Nex, absolute legend. But yeah, we try to get more love for an Aussie show, guys. But yeah, like I said, thank you guys for listening or watching. If you enjoyed the podcast, actually, I don't really want to rant about it. Give us 5 stars, because I don't think I deserve 5 stars. I'm just happy to have your attention, really. Especially if you made it this far. So, as the new catchphrase for the Splatoon 3 idols, catch you later.